Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Awed by the Popcorn podcast. I'm Alessandra.
And I'm Emily.
And today we are talking about a couple of rom-coms. The first one, Irish Wish, and the second one, No Hard Feelings.
Yes, both are currently on Netflix at the moment, even though Irish Wish is a Netflix film. No Hard Feelings is not, but that's where we watched both of these movies.
So Emily, what did you pitched me something about putting these both together in one episode. I don't remember what it was. What did you say?
So we've watched a couple movies. I was watching movies while Alessandra was traveling, and Alessandra happened to watch some movies while she was traveling. So we had watched Wish, or I finally watched Wish as well, since it is now on Disney Plus. And so Alessandra wanted to put Irish Wish and Wish together, obviously, because both movies have Wish in the name. But I said, no, let's do Irish Wish and No Hard Feelings together, because I can't remember. I think a couple months ago, or maybe a couple weeks ago, I saw this really hilarious post on Instagram. And so I sent it to between all of us, like our book club Instagram message, and it said, I hope all your DeLulu come Trelulu.
Yeah.
And so I thought that these two movies, like the characters, the main characters in both of these movies really encompass that. Like they're either DeLulus or coming Trelulu, or they are delusional and they need to kind of, you know, come to terms with some change in their lives. So I thought both really, really, really catered to this Instagram post. And I probably think about that Instagram post at least once a day.
It's really funny. So let's talk about,
I wish my delusions would come true.
Trelulu. I mean, they're kind of starting to come true, Lulu, in some way.
What, you think me moving to Boston is a delusion? I'm Delulu?
I mean, it's just a totally different, like, you're just totally becoming, like, you're doing something so different. I don't know. It just seems like it'll be a much more, like, good change for you than for these characters who have to learn a hard truth. And I feel like you've already learned that hard truth.
Yeah, I'm definitely, I'm definitely making some changes for the better in my life, which is very exciting for me. For those of you who might not know, it takes me a long time to make a big decision. Like, I am not a big risk taker. I am not. So this is big. So if you're talking about moving on all the toppings coming up, is because this is a big deal for me.
It sure is. I mean, it is. It is just,
this is the biggest deal for me.
Yeah, it's very exciting. So let's talk about Irish Wish first, I think, because I watched this first.
As did I.
And in fact, I watched this by myself, and then I watched it again with Vicky. And it was,
oh, you watched it by yourself? Well, I watched it with my mom.
Yeah. And the second time I watched it, I actually enjoyed it even more than the first time.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I was trying to think if I liked this movie more than Lindsay Lohan's other Netflix, like, rom-com that she did.
The Christmas one. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I maybe liked them the same. I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah.
I should probably give both of them a rewatch at some point.
Yeah.
Because they definitely weren't terrible enough for me to, like, never watch them again. Like, I generally enjoyed them.
Yeah, I mean, this one, so the first thought that I had when watching this was, this is horrible, But, you know, I do really like Lindsay Lohan, so that's not the problem. I think it's just, to me, it's a pretty low-budget rom-com, and, like, you can really feel that. There's that aspect to it. Also, just partly from the fact that there's, like, absolutely no Irish people in this movie, it's kind of a little odd. You know,
not even the author guy, the main author guy, he's not Irish.
No, he's Welsh. So,
oh
yeah,
his accent was a little weak.
It's not even that, it's just like she falls in love with a British guy. It's like, okay, why?
Why are you in Ireland just to fall in love with a British guy?
An English guy, yeah.
Yeah. I definitely agree. This movie definitely felt a bit more lower budget than the Christmas one. Maybe Netflix puts a little bit more, because it definitely felt like...
They were on location in Ireland, and that can't be cheap.
Yeah. But just the way it was filmed, I don't know. There was something about it that just made it seem a bit more cheap. I don't know.
You know.
I'm just agreeing with you. Said it. I'm just agreeing with you.
It's the oftentimes with these kind of movies, I find that the editing and the lighting is really, like, the music are all just kind of cheap.
Can make it seem cheap. Yeah, it could be filmed on location, could have the best costumes, but, like, there could just be something very small about it. Like sure, the way it was edited, or the way it was, or just even, I don't know. But definitely something about this felt more cheap to me than the Christmas one.
Right. What I'm saying is...
Than the Christmas one.
Because they had to go on location for this one, it would have cost, like, maybe a little bit more. So, like, they didn't get to put their money into... making it, like, because, like, the Christmas one only has, like, one location, so, you know.
Yeah.
This one's a little bit more expensive. So, it was great, because I watched this movie right before going to Ireland, and then I went to Ireland, and I actually flew in and out of the same airport, well, actually out of the same airport that she comes into in the movie. So, I got to, like, see that sign.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I had, like, known that I was going to be flying out of that airport, so I, like, made the, like, I was like, oh, I'm going to be just like Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, you sure are.
Who
falling
I
in love,
I love.
With an author who doesn't love you, and,
She does a lot of physical comedy in this, which I thought was very funny. The first part is when she, like, gets her scarf stuck in the taxi and flips around as it flies off of her. That was very funny.
That happens immediately. I don't remember if a bunch of physical comedy was in the Christmas one.
I think she falls down the stairs or something.
That's the one where she gets amnesia, right? Doesn't she like forget who she is,
bro?
And she stays in that Christmas town.
Is that what it is? I don't remember.
She's, like,
that
rich.
At all.
Yeah, she's rich, and she, like, does she fall down a ski slope?
Uh-huh.
And she has that really annoying fiancé?
It's, like, overboard, but with Christmas and a ski resort.
Yes. Well, yes. I'm not too sure what overboard is. I haven't seen that.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that is a must watch. That movie is great.
What is that?
It's got Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn, and she's a rich bitch, and she falls off her boat, and she gets amnesia, and then Kurt Russell finds her, and they fall in love. It's a great movie.
Ooh, I want to watch that.
Yeah. I grew up watching it. It's very, like, cute. And Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn are still together.
Yeah. That is one of the celebrity couples I know that is together. Yeah. I don't know much about celebrity couples, but I know they're together.
But anyway, yeah. So this movie was about this girl who's in love with her writer. She's an editor, a book editor, and she hasn't told anyone that she's in love with him except for her mother, who's played by Jane Seymour. Waste of Jane Seymour. And she doesn't tell anybody about this, especially her two best friends, played by Aisha Curry and Elizabeth Tan. And Emma, her friend, instantly falls in love with him, and they get married like very soon after meeting in Ireland. So everybody goes to Ireland, and Maddie makes a wish as they're, you know, in like this lock in Ireland, and she says, like, I wish I was the one who was marrying Paul Kennedy. And take a shot every time they say fucking Paul Kennedy in this movie, because it is like, yeah, every single time they talk about him, they say his entire name.
His full name. Like,
yeah.
She never calls him just Paul.
Yeah. So they obviously have, they're mismatched, and it's clear that Emma really does belong with Paul, and Maddie belongs with the photographer played by Ed Spielers. It was funny because me and Vicky were watching this, and we couldn't remember what the photographer's name was, and we just kept calling him Jimmy, like he was in Downton Abbey. And it turns out his name was...
Oh, I thought he looked familiar.
Turns out his name was actually James, and we were cracking up.
Oh my gosh. He's in Picard.
Yes, he is. He's in the third season of Picard, and I'm not going to spoil who he is, but you have to watch the third season of Picard.
I just spoiled myself.
Oh, no.
I just saw who he is.
He's also in Outlander, and he's also in Aragon.
Stephen Bonnet. Mm-hmm. That's way too close. That's way too close to Steve Bonnet. It's way too close.
Yeah, he's a bad guy in that, too. So he's, like, really creepy and weird. So I guess, like, seeing him in this, you know, as not a creepy dude is kind of off-putting. But I do like him. I'm a fan of his.
Yeah, I thought he was real cute. I thought the different connections were done pretty well in this movie. Like, you know, first kind of thinking that Paul, because things are kind of like, I like how things were kind of told to you, because we don't really know much about Paul or even about what's her name, Maddie.
Yeah, the main character.
Yeah, Lindsay Lohan's character, Maddie, we, like, you know, we kind of get, like, you know, they're both in the writing world. So, like, sure, they could, like, there's, like, what reason does Paul have not to like Maddie? Like, we don't really know. We're kind of, like, questioning that in the beginning. And then, you know, once we kind of learn more about these characters, I kind of wish we learned a little bit more about Maddie and kind of what made her and the photographer click a little bit more. Like, yeah, they were fine, but like there were physical things that Paul and Emma had like in common.
Yeah.
And we kind of just like had Maddie and the photographer just like kind of talking, which was fine, but like,
yeah, but
I maybe wanted a little bit more
chemistry, was
a little
like,
bit more connection between,
yeah,
them.
Like, what is happening? Yeah. Like, what do they have in common with each other? Like, nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, there wasn't, it was like, and not like it needs to be specifically said, but in this case, like, if you need me to believe them, you need to tell me why they like you. Like, you need to tell me why they're good for each other.
Because pretty much the whole time he's just calling her out on her bullshit. Like, she's like, yeah, oh, you know, my favorite author is this. And then later, you know, the guy is supposed to, like, what's his name? Paul Kennedy is supposed to know who her favorite author is. And of course, the photographer knows, James knows, because they had just chatted about it. And so, like, that's something. But, like, he just keeps calling her out on the fact that she doesn't really know Paul Kennedy, and Paul Kennedy doesn't really know her. And it's odd. And, like, why are you getting married? And it's just like, what? Like, this woman is getting married, and you're like, you don't even know each other. It's so out of line.
Yeah. Yeah, and the fact that she made the wish and it happened, and she has, like, Paul has all of these memories of how they met and how they, you know, how, she proposed and everything is the fact that she didn't know any of this information was a little interesting, because it's like, I get it, because she didn't form those memories, and so but neither did Paul, though, so how come Paul remembered and she like didn't?
I don't know,
you know what I mean?
And then also,
like, it was a little like inconsistent.
I also do not like when things just erase people's memories. So, like, obviously in the end she decides to not marry Paul Kennedy, but then she like wants to be with the photographer, so she runs after him and kisses him, and then everything goes back to normal when she wishes back her wish. But like, James doesn't remember anything that happened. Like, he doesn't remember their relationship at all. And then she just goes and sits next to him, and she's like, hey, so you're not going to go to South America to photograph those tree frogs? Like, why don't we get to know each other? It's just like, you just met. Like, you don't have any kind of background. He literally just stepped off a bus that you were on. And then he's like, okay, this is cool, I trust you, I guess, let's go on a date. Like, I don't know, it's just, I hate when things just completely have a different storyline that just did not actually happen. Especially, this is supposed to be a rom-com, right?
Yeah, there was definitely some weird, inconsistent, like, memory swiping and memory remembering. Like, it was very weird how things turned out. It was just a little weird.
Also, James Seymour, again, bringing back up the fact that she was wasted in this movie, she's only in the scenes that are in Iowa. Like, it's just so odd that they filmed an entire section of Jane Seymour with not interacting with any of the other cast. She's just on a phone every single time she's talking to her daughter, Maddie. And it's like, why even have her in the damn movie?
Yeah, she never makes it to Ireland for the wedding. She just, this whole saint situation, like fairy godmother, yeah, kind of situation where she's like sabotaging stuff in order to kind of put the people in their correct, you know, relationship lines. That was a little interesting, like the way it kind of got annoying, like with Jane Seymour like being at the airport and not being able to get where she needed to go was a little exhausting. It wasn't funny, it was just like, okay.
I know, yeah, I think that's just the laziness of the writing, you know.
Yeah
could have gone through some more funny proofs, could have punched this up a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely could have been a little bit more funny. One of my favorite parts was when the two of them were like at that bar after the tree fell down and they were kind of stuck.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun. That was pretty that felt pretty real, pretty good.
The bartender gave was decent. Yeah, that was very cute. The bartender gave James a not full Guinness, which was like blasphemy. Like, what? Like, it was like there was a little bit of like room on top of the glass of the Guinness. Like, you don't,
the glass wasn't
it completely wasn't completely full to the brim, which is how you deliver a Guinness. Like, you're not, this is Ireland, what
you don't just skip out on someone's drink. You fill them the full glass. I didn't notice that.
Well, but, I did. Very, very bizarre. me and Andrew were like, oh, what the fuck?
Did you notice that too?
Yes.
Oh, goodness.
So, yeah, that's funny. That was a cute, I loved when they were just chatting. And obviously, I wish that there was a one bed situation. In the smutty version of this, movie, that's what would have happened.
Oh for sure they would have gotten it on in this little Irish pub in the one bedroom.
Love it.
Or it would have just been a sexual tension night with mm-hmm. with just like no one sleeping, and it's just or there would have been some like hardcore making out.
yeah And then she's getting married the next day or whatever.
And then she's, yeah, then she's getting married.
So also I'd like to talk about how horrendous this wedding looked. I don't know if that really caught your eye, but this wedding that she's supposed to be having, it was probably one of the ugliest things I've ever seen in my life.
Like, just with the whole setup, with the arch and with where it was at and stuff, like...
Yeah, like, the pink, like, drapes and purple, like, pink and purple and the flower, like, it was just... Oh, boy.
I didn't really notice this. I really wasn't taking anything in this movie.
I did see it twice. I saw it twice.
That's true. You did have more time to look around and look at things.
I sure did. Her outfits, I noticed even more the second time. She wears a lot of plaid. They're very cute. Her hair and her makeup is also really cute.
I did notice these, like, boat shoes that she was wearing a lot throughout this movie. Uh-huh. Did you notice these, like, boat shoes?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely cute.
Boat shoes, Alessandra.
Yeah, they probably thought they'd be cuter than tennis shirts. Yeah, sure. Also, James's...
That was a little strange.
James's striped shirt kind of made him look like a little sailor boy. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
It didn't do him any favors either, because it looked him like it was like too oversized for him. I don't know. He did
look a little boyish in this movie, and Lindsay Lohan looks mature in this movie.
I know we're just attacking this movie, but I would watch it again. I would
watch this again too. Do not think that this is, and don't think that we're trying to put you off from watching. You should definitely watch it. Speaking of Lindsay Lohan, I watched Herbie Fully Loaded recently, and it was a fucking delight. Oh, Alessandra.
Yeah, Herbie's so cute. I love Herbie.
It's so good. It really, like, and Lindsay Lohan was solid, like, acting wise in that movie. Like,
great. She's a great actress.
She's great. She's really great.
I think she's the best part of this movie. Like, no lie, she is the best part of it. Everybody else is kind of like, eh. Like, her friends? No.
I feel like her acting with this one and in the Christmas one has gotten a little stiff. I feel like she's kind of getting her groove back, and like she needs to like loosen up a bit. I think she's a little stiff in this movie, and I remember her being a little stiff in the Christmas one. So
it's getting a little bit better. I think back to her, you know, just my luck face.
Oh yeah.
With Chris Pine.
Oh man. Yeah. Don't think that I will not watch every single Netflix Lindsay Lohan rom-com that comes out. Like, I am a lifetime subscriber to this. So think that I will not watch these movies.
that's what I'm thinking about these, you know, rom-com getting a little bit more into the mainstream again things, not just Hallmark-y rom-coms like this one, but like, I like that there's more bigger budget rom-coms that are coming out. I will like always watch a rom-com. Like, they are my number one go-to movie pretty much every time. So I just, they're just so easy to watch. And I'll watch the same ones over and over again too, even if they're terrible. You know, like, that's the thing about them. Like, even if they're just awful, I will watch them again.
Even if they're terrible, there's still at least a level of enjoyment.
Yeah.
Always.
There's always something in them that's worth it. So
there's always a little something in there for everyone. They have everything. They don't leave anything out. They got a little bit for everyone.
Let's look at some of this trivia, because actually Vicky and I were talking about this, and Andrew, when the friend of the brother showed up randomly, and we had no idea who the fuck this guy was. And we were like, why does he get so many lines?
Oh, yeah. Was it Tom O'Callaghan or something? Was that who that was? The friend?
No.
The friend of it's Corey Kennedy?
It's Finn. It says the actor Finn. Who portrays Paul's friend Finn is Dakota Lohan, Lindsay Lohan's real-life brother.
Oh, what?
I didn't know this.
No, absolutely not. I did not know this.
When Maddie, okay. Lindsay Lohan meets the mysterious lady at the Magic Stone, she mentions earthquakes and lightning. This happened in Just My Luck and Freaky Friday. We noticed that too.
I did not notice that.
Yeah, I noticed when she was like, there should be an earthquake or something, and me and Vicky were like, oh, just like Freaky Friday.
There should be an earthquake. Yeah, exactly.
Did
you notice how in the end of the movie when Emma ends up marrying Paul, she doesn't have to wear that same...
Yes!
The she doesn't wear that same dress. Wedding dress.
Yes, which I kind of like that dress. But, Yeah, like
I actually liked the structured sleeve and bodice of this one. The one that her friend wore was ugly.
Dude, yes.
It was worse.
Literally, exactly what me and Vicky said. I was like, okay, I really like this one that she was forced to wear because I think it's like very couture. Like it definitely is an old style dress. And if she's not into that, that's totally cool. But yeah, like it was a beautiful structure. It fit her very well.
But it's a vibe.
Yes, yeah, it's a vibe. Like, it was my vibe. It was my vibe. But, yeah, the one that her friend wore looked like the dress in The Proposal. Like, it had, like, those really, like, saggy boobs and stuff.
It just looked terrible. It was terrible.
Lindsay Lohan's first film in Ireland. She is half Irish in real life, as her father, Michael, is from Galway, which is where I just was.
Cute.
That is adorable.
Oh my gosh. So I was wondering this. So I did because I have the subtitles on, I did notice that Aliana Lohan was singing the end song. And I was like, oh, I wonder if, you know, she's related to the Lohans. And it says right here, the end credit song, Coming Home, is sung and written by Lindsay's sister. Wow, the whole Lohan family was just in this movie.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
Ed Spielers and Alexander Vlahos both had roles in Outlander, albeit not at the same time. Both played villains. Also, Alexander Vlahos, who played Paul Kennedy, was in Merlin. He was Mordred.
Oh my god, Alessandra.
I know. Big revelation.
Oh my god, Alessandra!
Vicky told me that, and I was like, are you fucking serious?
I didn't even know either. Because Baby
Mordred was Asa Butterfield.
Was Asa Butterfield!
Yes, yes, yes. We are due for a rewatch of that show. I'm not kidding, dude. It is...
Oh my god. We have to do an episodic. We have to do an episodic one for the podcast. We have to.
We have to maybe smush it in with our, like, alongside our Gilmore Girls. And then, I don't know when we're going to have time to do this.
Alongside? Are you crazy?
Oh god.
You want to be recording both Gilmore Girls and Merlin episodes at the same time? No.
And, when you move here, I feel like we're going to have more time to do the podcast. I don't know.
You say that. you're putting a lot of faith in us.
I don't even think I have enough time in the week to record more than we already record. Let's be honest.
yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know about that. I think that's pushing it.
All right.
Let's see.
The lake
is... This was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Lake Tay or Tay Lake is not accessible to the public and is owned by the Guinness family.
What? Okay, this is some great trivia, I have to say.
Yeah.
All right. Let's look at this. Look at the plot keywords and then the Metascore.
All right, because, we got to move on.
We do. We are sidetracked.
We've been on this movie for too long. Let's see. So we've got plot keywords here: wedding, love, Ireland, wish, and friend.
Friend. All right.
We needed some amnesia in there.
Yeah.
Memory swiping.
Okay. So this movie got a 46 Metascore with 4 positive, 8 mixed, and 5 negative reviews. No one wanted to see
this. You know what? Could be worse.
I honestly am very shocked.
Could be lower.
The highest we have is a 75, and the lowest we have is a couple 20s. So.
Let me.
What? No 100 for I Wish or Wish?
Go. I'm surprised there isn't at least one.
What?
Because there's definitely.
Who would think this is perfect? Who?
There are some crazy critics out there that just throw out 100s like they're candy. Am I wrong?
Oh.
Okay, here we go. So I've got 2 to pick from here for the 20s. Let's see, which one? Well, okay, I'm going to... Yeah. I don't want to talk about leprechauns, so I'm going to do The Guardian.
Yeah.
The Guardian 20. There is, of course, more here to remind us of Lohan's unwavering charm, but that's not quite enough to distract from just how tired and limply written the whole thing is and how depressing it is to watch her still stuck here.
Oh, okay. That's a dig towards Lindsay, and I don't think that they need to be going that far with that.
That's not where that needed to go. Like, we didn't, like, yes, this movie isn't great, but that was unnecessary, Benjamin.
Right? Yeah. I'm going to read the Irish Times 40 because, you know, I would like to hear what an actual Irish person thinks about this.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Cartoonishly colorful cinematography brings emerald-tinted sparkle to Kilruddery House, Loch Tay, the Cliffs of Moher, and other tourist traps. What else? It's professionally assembled. Everyone has nice hair. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Sure. The 60 we got this covered is pretty funny. As it smiles and waves to the rest of the genre like a good little rom-com, you may catch a hint of gleam in its eye and wonder, very briefly, is that who Irish Wish really is? Or did director Janine Damian and screenwriter Kristen Hansen just pull off one of the most maliciously untheatrical galaxy brain plays of the year?
Oh my gosh. Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Just this movie just like lacked pizzazz. I don't know. We're dealing with wishes here, and we're dealing with, like, you know, saints and, you know, fairy godmother like types of things, and it needed more sparkle. I don't know. It just needed,
yeah.
It needed a little bit more, like, I don't know, some campiness. Like, it wasn't campy enough to like for what it was.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
For the storyline.
Yeah.
Should I read this the highest one here?
Sure.
So we've got 75 from The Observer. We need silly rom-coms to get through the long, hard days of reality, just like Ireland needs tourism dollars after the pandemic. So why not celebrate Irish Wish for the joyous entertainment that it is?
Yes! You know what?
That's the energy we're looking for, Emily. You got it. You got the assignment.
A+. Okay.
That was amazing.
Let's just take a break before we talk about the next one.
Yep.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay, we are back to talk about No Hard Feelings, starring Jennifer Lawrence and Andrew Barth Feldman.
Yes, which I have never seen this boy before. Apparently he's in Dear Evan Hansen.
Yes, that is his breakout star, is in Dear Evan Hansen and in the Ratatouille musical.
I'm seeing that.
He's Remy.
Wow. He is the most Remy looking. No, he's Linguini.
Sorry, Linguini, that's right.
He's the most Linguini looking motherfucker I've ever seen.
And if I saw him in Dear Evan Hansen, I think I would have liked it more, because I watched the Dear Evan Hansen movie and I hated it. And I think if he was in it, it would have been way better.
Yeah. So was he like in the stage production or something?
Yes.
Right? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
This movie was hilarious. Contrasting between The Irish Wish in its sense. It actually had, like, a storyline that we were following where someone actually, like, kind of actually, like, figures their shit out by the end of the movie.
Instead of, like, a fairy godmother kind of, like, pushing you in the direction you're supposed to be going.
Yeah. Like, Jennifer Lawrence is, she's, like, a elder millennial who is just kind of stuck in Montauk, Long Island. Her mom's gone and she's left with this house and she's just a bartender and she just is kind of dating all around, doesn't really have any direction in her life. She's a
bartender / Uber driver.
Yeah. But her car is impounded, so she has to like go around on skates everywhere.
Yes. Basically, pretty much to say she's trying to get her shit together. There's just a lot of bad stuff is happening to her. She kind of starts relationships and then kind of ghosts people. So she's kind of left some hard feelings in her past with people.
She doesn't take accountability for anything. Her friends are pregnant, so they're going to leave her soon. So they're moving on and she's just kind of stuck.
Yeah, and so she's kind of in a tough situation at the moment, and so she comes across, or her friend comes across this, like, newspaper ad, or, like, Craigslist, like, where did they find this? Was it, like, online or something?
I think it was
something?
On Craigslist.
Yeah, so it's, like, there's a listing that someone is looking for, parents are looking for someone to date their son because he is a shut-in. He doesn't leave. He has no friends. He's very shy. He's going off to college and they want him to, you know, get the most out of it and be, you know, open to new relationships and to new experiences that college is supposed to bring you. So I feel like their intentions were good. They were there. They were nice, but they were definitely very helicoptery and very weird. I was a little jump scared by Matthew Broderick.
Uh-huh. It is hilarious, like, hair. He's got kind of like
his hair,
Mozart hair. Oh my, like, gosh. It's just long and gray, and the mom is like way too earnest. She's just like really worries and just like is on the edge of tears at all times.
Yeah, these parents seem weirdly like open about too many, like, Matthew brought, like, they're so different. Like, the mom is like a helicopter mom who's just like just smothering, and then Matthew Broderick is like, yeah, I had so much sex while I was in college, it was the best, like, I had a, like, he's like, he's just TMI, like TMI Matthew.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious. There's,
yeah, very, very funny. I don't feel like I feel secondhand embarrassment very often, but this movie was kind of giving me that a lot.
Yeah.
With Jennifer Lawrence and the situation she would put herself in. Like, when she rides her roller skates to this fucking house to meet the parents, and she doesn't take them off to climb the stairs.
Yeah. She tries to, like, get up the stairs.
I'm just sitting there like, take off the roller skates.
The parents are up at the top of the stairs, and Matthew Broderick is like, "Hi, I'm Laird." And she goes, like, something like, is it like the name Lindsay? Or can I call you Lindsay? And he goes, like, or what is the name? He says something. She says not she
said,
Laird.
She said Laird, like lasagna.
Yeah, like lasagna. Like,
but he said Laird, but she was saying Laird.
Joke. It's I mean, this movie, I was crying. Like, there's just so many silly lines like that.
I was laughing. Casey and I laughed so hard when they went to the beach and they skinny dipped and she got out to beat the shit out of those people coming to take their clothes.
Like,
and then immediately after beating the shit out of them, she's just out in the ocean again. And we're like, what?
Her beating the shit out of these teens fully naked was one of the most iconic things I've ever seen. Like, it was
completely.
It was batshit hilarity. Like, I have never seen a woman do that in a performance, like a comedic performance. It was just so funny. I mean, you're just not expecting it. And she's just fully out, like, fully naked on the beach, beating the shit out of these people. And it's just so funny. The kid, Andrew Barth Feldman, like Percy, he was also just confident in a weird way too. He was kind of like a weirdo, but like him working at the shelter and like talking about the dog that was like addicted to cocaine. And every time they said that, the dog like barked really crazy. I just like, he really gave a great, like, sad performance, but somebody who was, like, also gaining their own, like, confidence as well by dating someone like Jennifer Lawrence. I
mean. Yeah, because, like, when you first meet him, it's like, he is confident in certain aspects. Like, when people ask him if he has friends, he's like, yeah, I have friends that are online, and, like, and those are legit friends. I mean, they're not people that you could, you know, speak face to face to all the time. And there were some things that he was definitely sheltered on, like the fact that his parents track his phone all the time. And he like doesn't, and he's like basically scared to go outside. I mean, those are all, there were definitely some things that he needed to learn about himself and open up and, you know, be willing to have these experiences. But, you know, it wasn't like, everything that they were saying about him was necessarily true. Like, you can have online friends and just, you know, not be a shut-in like it. But, you know, there were definitely some things there that needed to be, I don't want to say dealt with, because it's like, it's not
like an issue. He needed to open up. He needed to grow up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
She's there to help him grow up a little bit, but she's so, like, she's helping him, but she's so, like, what is it? Like, she's really over the top. She's, like, actually too much. Like, and so whenever they want to do something, she just kind of pushes him really, really hard. And it kind of freaks him out because she's a really intimidating person. So, like, when she's doing things with him and he's only, like, 19, it's kind of, like, forcing. But he can, like, handle it. Like, he actually does a very good job of being like around her and actually eventually like really finding her them to be compatible in a weird way, especially as friends, obviously. But she's there to like help him kind of get like a little bit of experience. So it's just like, it's off like already. And the power dynamic is also just kind of hilarious and weird in that way. And they really just embrace it.
Yeah, it was like their whole situation was like making me uncomfy because I was like, ooh, I don't actually want them to get together. So I'm glad it morphed into something else, like into a strong friendship and not,
yeah,
you know, something sexual like the parents kind of wanted it to be in the beginning. Because again, like not every lasting, like, you know, long term or, you know, good relationship needs to be sexual. There's platonic that are really good and healthy for people. And it's just, it was just nice how they kind of turned the situation into something else. Mm-hmm. And the scene with the nanny where he's still friends with his
Kyle
nanny.
Mooney. Yeah.
Yeah. And what did she say? She made a joke that, like, he was also trying to date him.
Yeah. Kyle Mooney's also kind of creepy, so it, like, really worked out.
He did look creepy.
You know, he was the nanny of Montauk. Like, he's like, I know all their numbers. Like, I got them on speed dial or whatever. Like,
I've nannied for powerful families. Yeah.
Oh, I also thought it was funny.
You just have these really cartoonish characters.
Yeah, so cartoonish.
Oh, gosh.
They went to prom, and, like, they went out to a nice dinner, and she's wearing, like, this really sparkly dress, and this girl from school comes up to Percy and is, like, being really friendly with him, and she's also going to Princeton, and she's, like, being so friendly that Maddie gets, like, really offended, like she gets like intimidating, and she just starts being a real, real bitch to her. And like, she's like this 19-year-old and just like really out of line.
And it's like, and that's what he's supposed to do. Like, okay, he knows this Natalie person. They could be friends at Princeton too. Like, that's what he's supposed to be doing. He's supposed to be reaching out and experiencing new things.
I'm just coming to the conclusion that this is like the much more comedic version of the movie. Oh my god, the one that was in the 1970s that got nominated for Licorice Pizza. It's like kind of like Licorice Pizza because she is in that movie. She's really immature. And he's like more mature for his age, and it's kind of like that balance. Ish, you know?
Yeah.
She gets, like, kind of jealous when he's with somebody. You know, it's just, like, it's a very immature way to act. And she takes him to that high school party, and the parents are there, and they see her, and they're like, what the fuck are you doing? This is a high school party. She goes, you know what? Valid.
Yeah. And they're all like filming her, and she just doesn't know how to react to these teens filming her.
Yeah.
Ugh. Gosh. Yeah, she was a lot. And I don't know if I would watch this movie again just because Jennifer Lawrence's character was like so much.
She really is. I mean, totally the opposite of her character in the last movie we watched with her, the Causeway movie. Remember that? Last year with Brian Tyree Henry, he got nominated for an Oscar, so we had to watch it.
Oh, yes.
She's like the vet.
Yes. Yes.
She's like so emotionless in that movie. She just like keeps it all inside. And this time, it's just like this performance is just, it's really funny. It's really something. I would watch it again. I think I might watch it with Danny because it is on Netflix. So, it's pretty hilarious. I am going to read some of these trivia. After hearing criticism about the 15 age gap between the two main characters, Gene Stupinski pointed out that there was a 15-year age difference between characters played by Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper in Silver Linings Playbook, and no one had an issue with that.
Oh.
Valid.
Let's see.
Andrew Berthfeldman explained to Variety that his comedic chemistry with Jennifer Lawrence was immediate. On day one, we told each other our deepest, darkest secrets, and it only got deeper from there.
Oh, gosh. Jennifer Lawrence said this was her most fun film to make.
Oh, I believe it.
I mean, I bet. I bet.
So funny. When Maddie first walks into the dog adoption center, Crispin is reading Bear by Marian Engel, which is a controversial Canadian novel about a lonely female archivist who has a sexual relationship with a bear.
Oh, gosh.
That is so silly. It's just like, what's the funniest book we can give? We can give him right now.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, and I really liked it to say that Andrew Barth Feldman sang, and he sings the Maneater song for the restaurant.
Yeah.
And he is such a good singer, yeah. So it was definitely great that he got to use his pipes.
Yeah. When he was describing how the song, like, scared him when he was a kid because it was, like, a monster, and she's like, I don't think that's what the song's about. I don't know.
I hate that this is part of the trivia, but Jennifer Lawrence and Matthew Broderick are left-handed. Like, how is that trivia? Like, who cares?
Hey, lefties, unite. Hey. I mean, yeah, that's kind of lame trivia.
It's terrible.
There are more lefties are people too.
Jennifer Lawrence
There's more of them than you think. It's not super. We're not rare.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Isn't it only like 10% of people or something?
I don't know. Probably.
Let me look it up.
That's still a lot of people.
Left-handed people. 10%. I was right. Oh my god. Wow.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay. Jennifer Lawrence revealed she did all of her nude scenes. There was no body double. She spent 2 days naked filming her beach fight scene.
Oh my god. Yeah, I bet there was a lot of choreography that went with that.
Yeah, that is just... that was just so funny. I mean, it kind of peaked. Like, that was, like, the funniest part of the movie. And it was, like, right in the middle of the movie. But I still like the ending where she decides to sell the house and go like, leave and do something else, you know? It's kind of... It works for her.
Yeah, because they touched on it kind of briefly, but, like, she talked about, you know, wanting to travel to all the different beaches and surf the different beaches because she's really into surfing, and I feel like that was kind of brought to us a little late. Like, that would have been some night. Like, I feel like we knew a lot about Percy and kind of, like, what he was into, and we weren't really knowing too much about Jennifer Lawrence's character, and which is fine because she was very guarded, and so she was very picky about, like, what she wanted to tell Percy, like, open up about. And so it was nice that she kind of figured out what she actually wanted, because it kind of felt like she was, she would feel guilty about getting rid of the house since it's, like, the only connection she had left to her mom. And, you know, she wasn't speaking to her dad or ever wanted to talk to her dad. So it was just, maybe it just felt kind of like it was weighing on her a bit. Like, she felt like she couldn't pursue what she wanted to do, and she had to keep this place. Mm-hmm. So it's nice for her to figure that out on her own terms.
Yeah. And it just kind of, like, added some heart to the movie, I think. It was sweet. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to read the plot keywords?
Yeah. All right. So we've got... Okay. All right. Here we go. We've got nude fighting, female full frontal nudity, female Uber driver, female full rear nudity, female topless nudity.
Wowza. Jesus.
I feel like people use these as kind of like the content warnings. And because again, the ones that show up, the first five that show up are the ones that have the most upvotes. And so that, like, the most helpful.
Female Uber driver? Like, what?
Like, there is so much more to this movie than all, like, that, like, that should not be the first five that show up.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's disappointing. So
this movie, all right, got a 59 Metascore with 29 positive, 17 mixed, and 4 negative reviews, with the highest being a 91, the lowest being a 20.
Oh my god, you're so prepared. You're so ahead. I'm trying to click all the clicks. Okay.
So many clicks.
Here we go. Oh my gosh. Okay, scrolling down. All right. Oh, here we are. The Irish Times. Got a full circle.
Mm-hmm.
Irish Times gave it a 20. Every pratfall, including the naked ones, is joyless and witlessly timed. All right.
Is that
all you had to say?
I'm going to read the 40, I guess, from...
All right.
The Telegraph, or the Total Film. Taste and laughs are in equally slim supply in Jennifer Lawrence's latest, from which her only fresh-faced co-star emerges untarnished. That is really harsh, Neil Smith. I do not agree.
My goodness. Wow.
I, of course, have to read the 67 from Consequence, written by my brother. I know his name is not on this thing anymore, but I remember when he watched this movie and he gave it a B- on Consequence. So it has been a while since we read one of my brother's reviews here.
Yeah.
No Hard Feelings ends up belonging to Andrew Barth Feldman, who very soon may be one of Hollywood's go-to leading men, following his year-long stint as the titular role in Dear Evan Hansen. Despite the script's slightly jumbled ending, Feldman aces his character's transformation and finds dozens of moments to truly shine.
Very nicely said.
Yes, I loved it.
Very eloquent.
Yeah. Now I can read my brother's entire review as well, because I haven't done that. One of the pictures is her trying to climb the stairs in the razor, in the blade. So,
yep.
It's really funny.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. No 100s for this one, but our highest one is a 91 from Collider. Lawrence flexes her comedy muscles in both her dialogue and physical comedy, taking some bold swings with some of the things she does on screen, and it pays off extremely well. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. She's very funny.
It is.
And I think this was very refreshing. A very, very nice, different portrayal, a character that she plays.
Yes.
It's good to branch out, good to try new things. Just like the movies is the message is telling us.
Yeah, exactly. You're really taking this to heart.
Yeah. Stop being mean to Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, she doesn't deserve it.
And to Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, absolutely.
How dare all of you.
They don't deserve it. They work hard at what they do, so.
Yeah. All right. Any lasting thoughts on Irish Wish or No Hard Feelings?
No. I'm glad that this DeLulu went...
The DeLulu came Trululu.
Trululu. That's right.
Oh my goodness. Yes. All right. Well, that was Irish Wish and No Hard Feelings, both on Netflix. If you care to watch either of these, they're both very enjoyable. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and IMDb. We are also on Amazon Music, Spotify, and Acast. If you want to email us, please do that at allbythepopcornpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow our social media. We have Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Just search All By The Popcorn or All By The Popcorn Podcast. And we have merch, so please check that out. But thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you in the next one. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.